If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo PowerCast. And this is kind of a bonus episode where we're going to be taking a look at the history of Street Fighter. And I've got FGC Hitman with me. How are you?
Hello, how's it going? This is FGC Hitman, and sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you. Now, how's it going?
I love it. I love it. That's great. Well, you were just telling me you've been listening to NPC since, like, you know, 2019, 2020. Yes. And I've seen you in and out of, like, my Twitch streams and stuff like that. And I see your Street Fighter stuff on Twitter all the time. And I was like, hey, we should chat about Street Fighter and our history with the game and everything. And so I want to point out the footage that we've got going on. This is from one of the long plays on YouTube, and they immediately went into the controls and changed the heavy attack to the trigger, so the L and R buttons on the SNES controller. And that is exactly how I played. Were you the same way, or how did you have your control set up?
I have both my medium attacks on the top, so the shoulder buttons. So the L button would be medium punch, and the R button would be medium kick. And then I have my heavies on the Y. Oh, sorry, on the X. I play on all consoles, so, like, I get confused with the buttons. But the X button on Nintendo would be my heavy punch, and the A button would be heavy kick. You know, so I can have easy access to the heavy attacks back then, because I played classic on the, like, with my thumbs.
So, got it. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I don't know why. I probably read it in a magazine or something that somebody said put the heavies up there, and that's what I did. And that's, I mean, and even try to, like, do, like, E Honda, like, trying to do his thousand hand slap or whatever, like trying to spam the trigger with your finger. Not an easy task whatsoever. So
yeah, there's a shortcut input for that. Well, you know, like, maybe I'll show you that one. I'll show you that one in the future if you
ooh,
want.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like this. Maybe there'll be some Street Fighter lessons in the near future, kind of like I did with Smash. So that would be all right. I wish the Switch was still getting, like, the newer Street Fighters, but obviously, I mean, they're pretty the games take more horsepower than what the Switch could probably put out anymore, since it's much more than just the pixels we're looking at on screen right now.
Yeah, but I think that was a missed opportunity, in my opinion, when they came out with either Ultra Street Fighter 2 or the 30th anniversary of Street Fighter, like, of all the Street Fighter that came out and everything. That was an opportunity for us to get Ultra Street Fighter 4 onto the Switch, in my opinion, because we never had it on Nintendo.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that was a 360 title and a PS4 title, right? Or a PS3 title, I mean?
Yep. PS3, PS4, PC, and Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been cool. I mean, we got it on DS. You remember Street Fighter 4 was on DS?
Yeah. You know what? That version actually had lesser input delay than the PS3 version. The PS3 really? Version was the worst. Yeah, there's, like, a chart out there, like, if you look for it, about how much input delay by frames or by milliseconds, I believe.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Interesting. So the first time I got into any kind of, like, frame data and stuff was Dead or Alive 4. And I remember meeting some random guy on, like, some kind of board, like, a, you know, like a chat room or some kind of forum or something. And we would chat for a while, and he would send me, like, all these documents on like the character, like I think I played as Christy was her name, and he would like, I have these like massive PDFs of like all the different frame data, and I'm like, this is so much to try to comprehend. But it sounds like, I'm guessing you go pretty deep with this stuff. Yeah,
you actually go deeper than me, because when I first saw the frame data, I was playing Street Fighter 4, and I was already good. Like, I had the natural reactions and regular fundamentals, and I know how to punish. But I already kind of knew frame data without knowing the actual numbers. But when I first saw it, it was overwhelming to me. It was just like, similar to when my stepbrother put me into Final Fantasy Tactics. You see all the stats on the screen, and it's like overwhelming at first for me. And I was just like, I can't understand this stuff. But it's really simple once you break it down to layman terms. And it is important if you want to be competitive to know what the numbers are so you can optimize your punishes and stuff. But you go way back to me. I started learning frame data at 2015. I still remember the year. And I was at the end of Ultra Street Fighter 4 because Street Fighter 5 came out in February 2016. So you got me. You got me there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so like I said, it was Dead or Alive 4, and that was a launch title for the 360. So it was probably like 2005 when I started understanding that the fighting games went much deeper than just the fierce kick, the fierce jump kick to the fierce sweep. You know, that was like, I could beat all my friends with that. So then I would go to the arcade and I'm like, why isn't this working? I could beat everybody with this combo at home. Why isn't it working in the arcade? And I often would reference Street Fighter when I would play Smash, because I'm like, I'm such an aggressive player and I jump so much, and it all came from Street Fighter. So it's still, I probably should play Ryu or Ken in Smash just to see if it would help, but I don't know. I think I would just, I think it would probably just add to my bad habits. So let's go back though. Let's take the journey back. When did you start getting into Street Fighter?
I started getting into Street Fighter when I used to, it's kind of like a personal story, but it's not anything too crazy. But like, I used to have visitation. I was in foster care and stuff, but I lived with my aunt, so it wasn't that bad. And I used to get visitations with my mom in the Bronx. So Frisbee Avenue was the street. And she used to give me four quarters, you know, and I used to, you know, I saw Street Fighter 2 came out February, what year? 91, I think. And at that time, yep. And at that time, I was visiting her. So it just came out. And I was already in tune with the arcades. I've been a fan of the arcades since the 80s. Like, even as a kid, I, you know, like my memory with arcades go way back. And it was just addicting. And even if I didn't have money, it was overcrowded. So it was like a show. It was like very competitive. And it was just like, it was like an addiction. I was just like, I wanted to play Street Fighter, like, you know, and I love video games in general too. So I try hard on everything. So even in Mario, like my family used to hate me on that one, like my cousins, but like, it was just like, it was just like, wow. Yeah. Like the characters, you know, like this was like one of the first fighting games. I don't know the year when Fatal Fury came out, but I think it started with Street Fighter 2, where we had actual different character archetypes for the first time in fighting games. Like,
yeah. Yes. Like, yeah. Well, do you remember the first Street Fighter by chance?
Yes. I played it maybe once or twice. I never, you know, like I saw one in one of the random, because New York City is like one of the places, you know, like it was New York City. I think it was California and Chicago were the main cities that had like a plethora of arcade games. And like during the 80s and 90s, during the fighting games. And I ran into a couple of, I just didn't like it. It's just very clunky. It's objectively not even a good game. I'm sure you played it, you know, like I played it and I didn't like it.
Yeah, the thing that I remember the most about it was like, so I'm very similar, like we're pretty close to age and everything, and so I spent a lot of time in the arcades also. Now I had never seen Street Fighter 1. Street Fighter 2, of course, I couldn't stop playing, and then when it came to the SNES, I was all over it, right? But yeah. But I would always talk to my uncle, who was the one who introduced me to gaming. He would take me to the arcade all the time when I was a kid. He was kind of like my older brother. He's about 12. He's about, I think about 12 years older than I am. So, so he would often talk about the first Street Fighter and how it was just not even that. He's like, yeah, you could only play as Ken and Ryu, and it just, yep. the controls are pretty bad. And if you guys want a chance to check it out, it is on the Switch on the 30th anniversary. I'm fairly certain actually that it's, that I mean, you guys can double check me, of course, and tweet at me and let me know I was wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is available, because I think that was the first time I got to play it, is when I popped the 30th anniversary of Street Fighter into the Switch and was like, yo, this it was like one of those games of like games of legend that I'd only heard about. I'd never had the chance to play it until it came out on the Switch there. So
oh yeah, it's on there on the 30th anniversary. And when I revisited it, I still remember I was in Afghanistan in 2006. I don't know if it was the year that it came out, but it was a PlayStation 2, and it was the Street Fighter. It was the Capcom collection. That was Volume 1 and Volume 2. I think it came out in Volume 2.
Oh, okay.
And I got to revisit it there, and I was just like, oh my God, this game was so bad. Like the inputs were broken. It was hard to do a Hadouken in that one.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you a funny story, and I've talked about it on the show before, but I got my Super Nintendo, and I think the way it worked, I think they had to rearrange our normal Christmas schedule, right? Because usually my mom's sister would come over for Christmas Eve. Right. And then and then we would do Christmas morning with my mom's sister and her dad, because my mom's parents were divorced. And then my mom's mom and her sister would come back for Christmas morning usually. But for some reason, the timing was off, and it was Christmas night that I was with my mom's sister when I got to open presents from her. And so I had got the Super Nintendo that morning, and was given Street Fighter II from my aunt. And I remember I opened the gift and then immediately opened the plastic off the box, because I did not want my parents to be able to take it back. Because I had this rule in the house where I wasn't allowed to play fighting games, right? That was like, for some reason, like, And I don't even know what defines fighting games. We were talking about it before the show started a little bit. Like, I had Punch Out, right? So I was allowed to play Punch Out. But like, I want to say like maybe like Ninja Gaiden or Ninja Gaiden, or like maybe Contra was a little bit like too violent for my parents back then. I'm not really sure what games they didn't want me. They would just say no fighting games. So maybe Double Dragon. Right. Because there wasn't like actual fighting games really on the NES. Like later on in the life cycle, you got like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Tournament Fighters, or like the Kung Fu games that we were talking about. Yeah. Right. But like for the most part, there wasn't like they just kind of used that term like fighting game. But I don't even know what they really meant, because like I said, Punch Out was completely allowed. Like it was the game my dad and I played like every time I'd go to work with him on the farm, we would come home at like midnight, pour a bowl of salsa and play, you know, try to see how far we could get with Little Mac through Punch Out. So I'm not really sure what they meant by that. But then by the time Street Fighter came out, I was so into it. I remember my friend got the Super Nintendo early, or not early, but like one of the first ones. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember we walked, I was pretty young. I was like probably like fifth grade or something, or maybe right around there. And we walked a number of miles to go to the I lived out in the country, and there was this little gas station that had Highway Home Electronics, and they had Super Nintendo games to rent, but not many people had the Super Nintendo, so everything was available. So we rented like R-Type and Street Fighter II. And it was my first experience really spending much time with the game, and I fell in love with it immediately. And I, for some reason, I went right to Zangief. He was my first he was the first character I played as. I think probably because as we went through the instruction manual, his supers were the easiest to pull off as far as like just tapping all three punch buttons to spin. Yeah. Right. But then the 360 spinning pile driver was like was so difficult to pull off with D-pad, but we spent that weekend just try. I mean, my thumbs were worn out, right? They were just trashed. But I mean, I remember it vividly. Like, we had so much fun playing Street Fighter. Do you have a similar experience when it came to the game on the SNES?
Yes. All right. So we used to go to my arcades. Now, when I lived with my aunt, there was a video store. I used to go there. They had a pool table. I was too young to shoot pool, but I used to shoot it had the white ball or whatever. But I remember in that arcade, they had Street Fighter 2, which they would upgrade to Street Fighter. They had X-Men, the arcade game. They had Raiden, that old school shooter.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
And now behind the counter, one day they had Street Fighter 2 on Super Nintendo. I didn't know. That was my first time seeing it. And I was just like, and they let us all play on the Super Nintendo. It was just like, wow. We had a Super Nintendo in my house, but like I lived with my older cousin and a younger cousin. So he was the one that would get all the upgrades. You know, like he would get the Super Nintendo, the NES when it came out. I had the Game Boy in Christmas. And then when he had the SNES, he handed me down the NES. But long story short, he had it. He ended up getting Street Fighter 2 and I would just keep playing it, you know. Like when he would leave, I would sneak to his room and play Street. I would play nonstop, and I knew the code too. Like there was a code to get the extra colors of the costumes from Championship Edition. So that was another one right there, you know, and to get the extra colors.
Didn't that same code allow you to play the same character versus the same character?
Yes.
Because that wasn't possible when the game you couldn't go like you couldn't be Ryu versus Ryu. You couldn't, you know. And then once that code was entered, it was like, that was such a huge deal. I remember like, oh, we can actually like, we can really test each other's skills with the same character now. It was, I don't know. It was just, it's so goofy thinking about it as like, we needed a code for that to be able to happen. But that, you know, that's just the way it was.
Yeah. Also colors back then, like in the 80s, like Double Dragon, like even in Mario, like it was cool to see the different colors, like, mm-hmm. you know, like the Luigi costume, or like a Double Dragon, seeing the red costume. I don't know, like when Championship came out and seeing, you know, Ryu with the gray, with the blue bandana, and, you know, Blanco with the blue, you know, like different skin tones. And I was just like, oh man, this is awesome. I was just like, wow.
So, yeah, like, it was a big deal. I mean, you were talking about Mario. I used to like pause the game when I had the Starman back then, before it was the Superstar, right? And just see what different colors Mario could be. You know, I would just pause and pause and pause just to see the color. So it was a big deal. And even I liked playing as Luigi because it was just different than the red and the brown. It was white and green. It was a little more vibrant, you know, like, but yeah, the colors were, it was a pretty big deal at that time. So,
I also did that same thing, by the way, with like with the star, like to pause it to see the different colors. Like you would see different colors. It'll be like a blue color. It'll be like, I remember Mario turning blue, but I can't remember the other colors, but I used to pause it just to see. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was a big deal. It was now I'm going to make a TikTok of all the different Mario colors from the first game. Like, that's going to be kind of fun, honestly. Like,
go ahead, get it. That's going to be a hit.
Yeah. Well, it'll be so much easier now because I can just do it in editing. I can just take each frame. And not have to.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Not have to hit the pause button. So that'll be nice. But
that was a delay. That was a delay between the pauses too, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, every time. So, well, the footage we're watching right now, it's showing Ken fighting M. Bison, and it's interesting because like in Japan, M. Bison is actually Balrog, right? Because it was like Mike Tyson, M. Bison, and then...
Oh no, he's Vega. He's Vega.
Correct me. Which one is which?
Okay, so Balrog is the claw.
Okay.
And M. Bison, or, you know, or we in the FGC, which stands for Fighting Game Community, we call him Claw. And we call M. Bison, which is Mike Bison. Everybody knows at this point, you know, Mike Tyson, but they didn't want any gimmick infringement, so they switched the names up. But we call him Boxer. We call Vega Claw, you know, like, and Dictator. But M. Bison, or sorry, Dictator is Vega. Claw is considered Balrog. It doesn't make sense now. And then Mike Bison for Boxer.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, I knew there was something there. I didn't know Vega was in the mix. I thought it was just those two were switched. So, but do you remember playing like we just saw Bison on screen? I mean, yes. Do you remember the first time you had to like go through, you know, Sagat, Balrog, Vega, and you were like, man, yes. I want to play as these characters, and they weren't available.
Okay. I remember this. Now I remember, I always wanted to play as those characters, but I remember the first time I fought Balrog. I don't know about you, but like I lost to each in every one of them.
Oh, so yeah, same. Yeah, just wrecked. Absolutely wrecked.
Yeah, but I would go back home and their theme songs, because they beat me, would stay in my mind like all night long. You know, and Vega's theme, Balrog, you know, Sagat's theme, and M. Bison's theme. And I remember the first time I made it to M. Bison in the arcade. And I still remember, I lost. I only had one quarter left and I lost, but everybody was cheering me because everybody was trying to beat Bison. We all kids. We're like, I was 8 years old, 9 years old. You know, like everybody's around my age group, a couple of 13-year-olds. And they were all like, yeah, you know, like we had a little crowd there like cheering. And then I lost. But I remember when I first meet them, it was like, it was great.
But like, that, yeah. That is an experience that a lot of people won't have, right? Like, yeah. I remember playing, I've talked about before, but like Killer Instinct. And I learned that game on Super Nintendo, would go to the arcade and then just smoke everybody in there. And I'd have a line of grown men behind me. I'm like 12 years old, just, and they're like, how are you doing this, kid? I'm like, I don't know, put your quarter up and get to the back of the line.
Yeah.
You know, but then like, yeah, there would be people that would, you know, gather around and like watch this kind of stuff go down. It was like an event, and I got to experience it at E3.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
2016, I think. I think that's the first E3 I went to. And there was an Evo champ who was there with his girl. We were at this barcade in LA, and it was open, except for the machines were under the roof just in case it rained. But the bar was relatively, and there was a Street Fighter II machine in the middle of the room, and it was displayed on all the TVs.
Oh, wow.
And so there was an Evo champ, and then like one of the top competitors happened to both be there, and they both got on the machine, and the whole place, like there was like this whisper that just went through this whole barcade, and everybody stopped and we just watched, and it was like high level, like insane Street Fighter II action on all these screens. And you could hear a pin drop in the place other than just the sound of the sticks and the buttons, because everybody was just like glued to the TV and it wasn't just a, like, you know, the Evo champ didn't just dominate this guy. Like they were back and forth. It was close fights. Like it was such a cool experience to see, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you see two sports stars end up in the same, you know, in the same boxing ring, you know, two boxers end up in the same boxing ring, which isn't necessarily going to happen, but something like this, where it's, you know, it's Street Fighter, like they were probably just as hyped to be there doing that as all of us were watching it. Like it was something I'll never forget, you know, and that's, it's just crazy that you can take a, you know, some pixels and a handful of inputs and everything and make something that's just such an iconic piece of pop culture, especially for me. And you know, so going forward, like, did you progress with the game a lot in the arcade, or did you, was it more on the SNES that you were able to play some of the other games?
It was a little bit both, but like, I wasn't like really studying anything. It was just like, okay, I learned how to do a DP, or, you know, which is the all you can, And I was just like, okay. I learned how to, I started with Blanca and then I started using Ken and Ryu. And I was just like, all right, like I get the basic concept of it and I got the basic jump in. I could do jump forward, jump heavy punch, and then heavy punch into either a Tatsu, which is the hurricane kick, or the Oyuken, and get them dizzy. And then, you know, like just do stuff like that. But like, I didn't progress that much, but I did progress in terms of everywhere I lived. I always wanted to take that top guy out, you know, like, and everywhere I lived, and I was able to at a young age. And over there in New York City, it gets a little crazy, you know, like I got into a couple of scuffles. And then there's those times because I'm a small, you know, 10-year-old, 9-year-old or whatever. And, you know, we got grown men there and like bigger kids, you know, like, and they got their quarter, but they're trying to put their quarter above yours. So like, you got to stand up for you. I'm like, nah, man, I got next, you know, like I used to be like, nah, man, I got next, you know, like they'll act like they got next because they're the bigger guy. And it's just like, if you don't say nothing, you're going to be in the back of the line. So it's like, you got to be assertive at that. But that's my experience with Street Fighter 2 on that one, you know, is just trying to beat the best person there. There was always someone there or that competition, or you want to stay there as long as you can, you know?
Yeah, I remember learning the game, right? And you're just trying to get, you know, try to work your way up to the, you know, through the ranks or whatever. And then somebody would come put a quarter in and I'm like, nah, like, you know, and then maybe you get lucky and there's somebody that they aren't that good. But then it seemed like a lot of times it would be somebody in there that would just run the machine the entire time I was in there. And I'm like, I don't want to keep giving my quarters to one person. Like I want to play the game as long as possible. Right. So then I'd end up moving on to something else. Or, and do you remember when they finally implemented they had like a 1 through 10 where you could put 10 quarters on the top of the arcade machine or whatever, or like right above the joystick, so that people knew what place they were in line.
Yeah, like that's how we did it. I don't remember like 10 quarters, but I remember it'll be a bunch of quarters, but I knew which one was mine. It's like you had to keep your eye on the quarter. I remember it like under the that vision right there. I remember that in the video store. There was like a video store, like a local video store, and it was in the basement, and they had all the Street Fighter games there. Like, and it's a little dark, and you know, but that's what I remember right there is you just wait your turn. But me personally, like, I liked that challenge. Like when there was that top guy there, I wanted to take him out. And you know, like I used to save my lunch money, turn it into quarters, and go in, you know, like, and I was the one that was lasting a while too, like locally, but competitively, I've been in a couple of Street Fighter 2 tournaments, like recently, you know, like not that far recent. There's some high level, like there, it's ridiculous. They'll treat me like I never even knew how to play this game.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
So, for me, the progression obviously went, I remember I had it on SNES, and then the Challenger Edition, which just came out on the Nintendo Switch Online for the Sega, came out, and it was like, how do we play this with three buttons? This is ridiculous. So we never even messed with it, right? And then one of my best friends in high school, his name was Tim, and he had Street Fighter II Turbo. And I remember just like, yo, this is like next level. This game's way faster. And you could play with, you know, with the boss characters. And, you know, we would enter the code to be able to go up to 10 speed and we'd play at the fastest speed possible. Right. It was crazy. But we had a great time with that. And then the gameplay we're watching is Super Street Fighter 2. And I remember the first time I played this, there was a kid down the street. And it's kind of interesting because I can't play this game without thinking about him, but it was his mom passed away.
Oh, wow.
And it was the game that he was given when his mom passed away to kind of help him like cope or whatever. And I remember borrowing it from him and then like not wanting to keep it very long and get it back to him just because like, you know, it just didn't, it there was just something about that. I'm like, nah, this game is, and I don't, you know, I don't, at the time we were just kids, you know, so I don't know if he may not even cared all that much, but I just remember for myself, I'm like, ah, I just got to save my money and get this, because adding the new characters and everything, you know, it felt like Street Fighter 3, honestly, because there was just, you know, there was more to do. And I mean, again, I remember, honestly, I think I was playing Super Street Fighter 2. I was homesick from school and there was this guy reciting my house on scaffolding, and I could see him in the window. And then all of a sudden he disappeared and I could just hear screaming. He had actually fallen off the scaffolding. He wasn't tied off or anything.
Oh my God. And
yeah, it was crazy. And he fell just in the right spot, like on the soft part of the lawn to where he didn't hurt. Like he missed a bunch of big rocks. Yeah. And I remember him telling us, he's like, yo, this was, I had a feeling I shouldn't come to work today. And this definitely confirms it. And he left. And I was just like, I just remember I'm sitting there playing Street Fighter. All of a sudden this dude just disappears out of the window. I was like, what is going on? But it, I mean,
he was watching you play some Street Fighter. That's, I think that's, so. That's,
yep, that's the thing. But I mean, even look at, we're looking at like Chun-Li on the screen right now. Right. And, yes. And she got a fireball that wasn't part of her original moveset, you know? So seeing the characters evolve over time, like who did you end up with as like a main during the Street Fighter times? And did it change as the game progressed?
I started with Blanca when I didn't know how to play the game, but you know, cause like when we didn't know how to play the game, like you had two characters for people who didn't know how to play the game. When you pick up and play, it's Chun-Li and Blanca, because you mash legs or you mash electricity. Mm-hmm. As I started learning, I kept it basic. It was basically Ken or Ryu. And to be honest, that was it. I was always maining those guys. But when it came to Super Nintendo or whatever, I used to do something called a character battle. So it'll be me or it could be a friend. And what happens is you start from one end of the character select screen. I start in another. We'll do first to two. And when you lose, or you move to the next character.
Oh, interesting.
It's almost like a Survivor Series, like in wrestling, like when they're all gone, it's over. So like, and you just keep going, you know, like if you win, you stay with the same character, you lose, you move on to the next. So, or vice versa, you know, cause like, if you're that good and you're going to win, like if you win, you go to the next one, like, you know, like you could switch it up if you want when it comes with that. But like, that was my way of getting my money's worth back in the days, using every character in any Street Fighter that I owned, was having character battles. So
that's so cool. I love that. And I was like, Guile was my main, but then I would, and I mentioned it on stream yesterday and they were like, oh, you mean the camping fighter in, but see, I never played him that way. Cause I was too aggressive with everything. So yeah. I never camped with him really. I would just, but then I remember like, I would watch the way the computer played and I'm like, this guy is just like hitting me with the sonic kick, like all the time. Like every time I get near him, he would put me down. I'm like, okay. But again, I would still, you know, I wouldn't learn. I'm just like, nope, I'm going to get one in. I'm going to make it work. It never worked. But
yeah, but they cheated back then too. Like if you play the arcades, like to do the flash kick, I called it the blade kick back in the days, but it's called the flash kick.
Oh, that's right. Flash kick. I'm like, I know it's not called the sonic kick. I, as it came out of my mouth, I'm like,
no, oh, sonic kick is fine too.
Somebody's going to roast me. So
you're good. Because I called it the blade kick back in the days because it looked like a blade, but you got to hold down 2 seconds, up kick. The computer doesn't do that. He could walk forward and just do it. Bison could just walk forward and do a Psycho Crusher, but it's really charged back 2 seconds. The computer cheated in those Street Fighter games because that's what they did back then. Arcades were designed, even Double Dragon. I could never get past the second or third level. You know, the one with the females. I don't know if they had whips or whatever, or I forgot. But those games were designed to take out money, not, you know, like. And it was no different with Street Fighter. They cheated. They cheated by having better access to the moves than us. We got to do the real inputs. They don't have to do the real inputs. They're just programmed and stuff just comes out. And that was designed to eat our quarters. And then, in my opinion, you know. So.
Oh yeah, no question. No question. Yeah, it was definitely a business. That's for sure. So, for me, the last thing when it came to like Super Nintendo and stuff was like, I think it was Street Fighter 3 Alpha. Does that sound right? Is that,
Street Fighter Alpha 3? It came out on PlayStation and it was in the arcades. You're talking about that one, right?
But wasn't it also on Super Nintendo?
That was Street Fighter Alpha 2 that was in Super Nintendo. I never owned it, but I remember going to my friend's house and he had it. It was slower, but they made it work. Like it's still a decent title, but the game ran pretty slow, you know, in comparison to the arcade version, obviously. And Yeah, but
and I never I never played it. It was one of those games I always saw in Toys R Us, and then now it's one of those games that's like it's kind of expensive on Super Nintendo. Like as far as a, like for collectors and whatnot, like it was like the end of the life cycle, so it didn't really get picked up all that much. And I like I said, every time I go into Toys R Us, I'm like, why do they have so many copies of this Street Fighter game? But I think I was in there buying like 64 games at that point. You know what I mean?
So, yes.
And then
probably like, for $90, huh? For 64 games.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. And so, but I mean, for me, the, you know, Street Fighter, I got back into it in 4, but yes. During that era, like Mortal Kombat was around. I was still playing that a ton. And then, Killer Instinct was like my jam. Like that probably, I probably played more Killer Instinct on Super Nintendo than maybe even Street Fighter, because I was like, I want to learn every combo. I want, like, I just loved that whole just the premise of it, where it was like you're trying to inflict as much damage as possible and as quickly as possible with just by these different inputs, and I loved it. Whereas like Street Fighter felt like a little more like you know, offense, defense, punish, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like more technical, and
yes,
Killer Instinct was more flashy. I got a little bit of history with Killer Instinct as well too, but nothing competitive. But I remember I ran away from home, you know, like, and I went to one of my cousin's house, you know, but from my uncle's side, so he wasn't really blood, and okay. I stood with him for a couple of days, and that was the first time I played Donkey Kong Country, and he had Killer Instinct, and I remember using Orchid. And I was just mashing stuff, and I'm just like doing ultra combos, and I'm just like, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it looks awesome. Yeah. And then the stage deaths, you know, there was some Mortal Kombat tones in there, you know, like some influence on there. That was a fantastic game on Super Nintendo. Soundtrack was great. That's Rare though. Rare always had great soundtracks throughout their games. You know,
oh, they the did. Yeah, absolutely. So you like. Did you play through, like, have you stuck with Street Fighter all the way through, or have you had some breaks?
I have stuck with Street Fighter when after Street Fighter 2, you know, like, it was always casual competitive. So when I say when you're a good casual competitive is you're probably beating everybody in the household type deal. So, like, I didn't really get to test myself until Street Fighter 4 a little bit. And then Street Fighter 5, I was in the military when Street Fighter 4 came out. So I was in Afghanistan, and I had to wait like a month to get the mail. And I felt like I felt like a kid in Christmas when I got Street Fighter 4. And I immediately was hiding in my tent, just trying to get away from work. But I was playing a little bit of, you know, I was playing so Street Fighter 4, but nobody played with me. So like with me being, well, me being in the military, when I retired in 2014, it was at the end of the life cycle, and I didn't get a chance to like really like do any tournaments. I started doing tournaments in Street Fighter V, you know, because now I was able to put more time on that. But I play Street Fighter V almost every day, and it'll be Street Fighter VI as well. So, and I do tournaments. Like I try to do tournaments like a few every week, but back then I used to do 10 tournaments a month when I used to travel offline. So that's the long story short, like in terms of, you know, like the competition stuff. So
you're talking like in-person tournaments.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And, I started doing tournaments when Street Fighter V came out, like consistently. So I found a local area. It was like a local church, but it was like in a basketball court. And, it was just smaller tournaments. So that was me, you know, like breaking in. And then in 2017, I moved to the Columbus area, and it was in a barcade. So it's called 16-Bit, and I'm sure they're around other areas too. And there's video footages of those too. But like, and I was honing my craft. I was honing my craft on that. And I was just leveling up, you know, like I had, that's the weeklies. So the weeklies, I don't want to get too long-winded, but the weeklies is like every Monday, and it's just like local. So like, you know, like if this is where you practice, this is where you hone your craft, this is where you get the experience where you start handling the pressure. And then it's like different tiers of different levels. You got weeklies, then you got monthlies. The monthlies is going to be like the best friend of state, you know, showing up. Then after the monthlies, then there's regionals. The regionals is the best within that region. So like if you're in the Midwest, you're going to have people from Detroit, Chicago, Indianapolis, Ohio, et cetera, Louisiana. I think Louisiana, Kentucky, sorry. And then you got majors, which I'll be going to potentially this weekend. It's called Combo Breaker. The majors is where you get the best players from the world showing up. So it's different tiers. And yeah, in 2018, when I started leaving my region, I did 120 tournaments, at least 120 tournaments. I found all the brackets that I've done. It was logged in. And I did over 50 miles of driving because I can't take planes. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it was a great experience. I met great people and stuff. And, you know, in 2019, I did less. Did about 30,000 miles. And then the whole COVID thing started happening. And then, you know, I just, we stopped traveling, you know, because like we had the social distancing stuff, and then people were closing down their businesses, you know. So, yeah, but that, yeah.
Wow, wow, that's crazy. And now, I mean, I get to see your clips periodically on Twitter, and it's just it's unbelievable. And I kind of want to dive into. Like, what was the journey like for you getting into the competitive scene?
The journey is, it's a lot of good, you know, and now competitively, you know, when I get immersed, I know how to separate it, but when I get immersed into it, there's some disappointing losses and stuff, but I was a student of the game. I was my worst critic, you know, so, but like, you're in the spotlight, you know, like when they call you up for the stream match, they got you there. They got the camera on you. They got the people in the Twitch chat. You already know how that is. And sometimes there'll be, you know, if you're in a higher stakes tournament, there's like 20,000 viewers, you know, and everybody's, you're reading it for the first time. And it's just like, everybody's just crapping on you. Like, oh, you know, like at first it could be disheartening, but like, I didn't look at it as much. It's just like, it's just like sports. Like when people watch sports, you know, I just picture the guy with the beer and the couch, just, you know, playing coach, and you know how it is. They're the subject matter expert. It's at first when I did tournaments, I was just like, we know like the Evo champs, like you said, like, you know, and we got some of the best players in the world. And I'm just like, I don't think I could keep up with the, you know, like when I first played, I was just like, you know, I'm just doing this for fun, but I'm still competitive. And I want to see if I could reach my best. And that was times I did run into some of the best players in the world, and I won some games on them. You know, so I was just like, I'm not at their level, but I took some games off them, some in bracket and some offline. And I was just like, wow, there's actually like when you do stuff like that, like the payoff. And going back to when you was talking about Dead or Alive 4, when you were saying that, oh, I was doing this jump in heavy attack or whatever, and then there was extra layers on it. So the beauty of fighting games is that it's ever evolving. So like, if you want to remain competitive, you have to update your play style. Got to kind of keep up with the meta too, because there's updates, you know, like I'm not a meta chaser. I just stick with what character feels the best for me. And, you know, and I make the best with the tools that I have, but it's studying the frame data. It's running sets with the character specialist. A character specialist is, you know, someone who's almost like at a very strong level with that character, just to gain the experience. And labbing, you know, it's just like, it's really a lot to get really good in fighting games. And I have thousands of hours logged in. I'm talking about 4,000 hours at least. And that's just on the PC version. So I'm putting, you know, Tears of the Kingdom hours on Street Fighter. And it's really, it's real. Like, it's ever evolving. So like I was saying, like when you was playing Dead or Alive 4, there are extra layers. When you get to that competitive level, like just like when I was watching your TikTok videos on Mario Kart Deluxe, like those extra layers, those little tips that you were sharing, and those extra layers, just to get a little extra boost, and just to, you know, shave off a couple of seconds in the, you know, and or maintain right. your lead or whatever. That stuff that you was putting in, like Mario Kart, and I've been in your lobbies, you know, so like, so there's that potential. Like it's similar stuff. You're finding anything little extra just to, you know, just to give you that boost, you know, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. And the thing that, like, I feel like, cause I mean, I never got competitive with Street Fighter, but with Smash, like, it was one of those things that, like, you know, so humbling as like, okay, I'm going to stream myself just getting destroyed all the time so I can get better. Yeah. Right. Like, and it's still one of those games that, like, I don't know that outside of fighting games, I mean, first person shooters is where I'm super, super passionate about it. But again, I play those way too aggressively because I could dominate everybody at home or like my friend group. Yes. But then when I get out and play against other people of the like similar skill or whatever, I'm like, oh, they're having to play smarter. You know, I look at my son, like the way he plays Call of Duty, it's like, he's like, he could put on a clinic continue. He could be coaching like no question, because it's like, he doesn't just think about like his gunplay. He's thinking about all the lines. He's like, I've played this scenario so many times. There's almost always somebody right there, to the point that like they think he's cheating. Like he gets called out in tournaments and they have to go and like PC check him and stuff because they're just like, how did you know I was there? And he's like, it's the same scenario every time. There's only so many lanes. This is like, yeah. it's where you just learn it. Right. And so, but with Smash, it was like, if you enjoy problem solving, fighting games are one of those things that like you will continually have a problem to solve, because you may try a technique. I mean, Crawler and I have played against each other so many times that like I will dominate him and then he will learn and then he will start to dominate me. And then I have to adapt and yep. get back into dominating him. And we just go back and forth. There's always this, you have to adapt. You have to change the way you play. You can't just, yep. you can't just assume that this is going to work. You know, it's just like when I played Street Fighter and it was the heavy kick to the sweep and then a fireball over and over and over again, yeah. or a sonic boom or whatever the case may be. Is like, no, if you don't adapt and start learning some other techniques, you're just going to get smoked. And so, I love that aspect of like, I can jump into Smash right now and maybe beat a few people and then get dominated. Right. And then I don't get upset by it. It pushes me. It makes me want to improve. It makes me want to get better. And you were talking about like, you know, just all the tournaments. Like I miss going to locals with other Smash players, because like, there's you're hanging out with your people. You know what I mean? Yep. Like it's, there's something to that. It's just the community aspect of it and everything. And so it's so much more than just a handful of pixels on the screen. Like I was saying, like there's the community, the way you challenge yourself. And like, you know, so many Smash players that I've talked to are like, yo, Smash has made me a better person. Like it makes me take on different challenges in life better because of, like, if you want to learn this, you've got to be patient. You've got to keep practicing. Like, you know, it's like no different than playing a musical instrument or anything that you want to excel at in life. You've got to put the time in. You've got to put the hours in. And it's, you know, as funny as it is talking about like, you know, a fighting game that I wasn't supposed to play, like it really helps you in other areas of your life as well. And I'm sure you can attest to that.
I definitely agree with that, because like, I'm big on managing finances, right? So like when you play, I guess, Street Fighter 4, since that's one of the recent ones you played, or even Street Fighter 5, I like to manage my meter correctly, which is very important. You got to manage, you know, so that's another way. And those sets that you were having with Nightcrawler, you know, shout out to Nightcrawler, mm-hmm. and he's coming at you. like how you guys were adapting to each other and creating those layers. So there's a benefit to running those long sets. Now, there's a detriment of running long sets with just only one person, The detriment is that you will only get used to his play style. And then when you play someone else, their play style might throw you off because you're so used to his. But the benefit of you running those matches where you adapted to each other, now you're self-reflecting in the middle of that. What am I doing wrong? I have to make self-adaptations for yourself. And you're learning the matchup and you're adapting to his stuff. So now those extra layers that you're adding to your gameplay, it's going to carry over now. Now you got more extra tools in your toolbox now. Now you got extra layers and you got a plan A, B, and potentially a C now. You know, so you can still play your regular style, but if that one's not working, you know how to like adapt now based on the matches that you had with Nightcrawler. But then again, Smash is a very difficult game. I've been in a Smash tournament before, and yeah, I didn't even stand a chance. And it was the one on the GameCube, Brawl.
Oh, Melee or
Melee.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brawl's the one on the Wii. I get them confused. Yeah, that's the slow one. But like Melee, yeah. I was in a Melee tournament before, and they're dashing all over the place with Star Fox, and I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on here.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's, I mean, when I go from Smash, and then I remember when, you know, the Street Fighter, like there was some kind of like HD remix. I have that one as well. And then the 30th anniversary came out. I remember on the 360 when Street Fighter 2 HD came out. I don't know if you remember that one also, yes. But like, but there was the same kind of thing. The majority of my friends on Xbox Live, I could just smoke them. And they were like, what is going on here? Like, how come? But all I was doing was the same moves over and over again. Right. Like they just had no way. They weren't adapting at all. They weren't doing anything. So I was just able to just basically school them like that. And so the thing that I realized though, when I got back to Street Fighter after playing Smash, is like, this game is so slow. And I'm like, I feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. Like, but it's, you know, going back into Street Fighter now, and I would love to spend some time, especially in 6. I have the demo on my Series X. I need to play, now that I have a better understanding of like neutral game and, you know, punishing and just the way I play fighting games now versus before, I just have to spend enough time with Street Fighter to get used to it again. And that's something that I haven't done. I haven't spent enough time with it to really get used to it anymore coming off of Smash, because Smash is just so fast and chaotic.
Yeah. Like I think you're, I played a little bit of 6. I think 6 is going to be the most, I don't know. I was making two comparisons in two of my recent streams. I think Street Fighter 6 is going to be the most influential Street Fighter since Street Fighter 4. But it's going to be the most popular Street Fighter since Street Fighter 2. Because Street Fighter 2 was a blow up on arcades and Super Nintendo. Like, I think it had one of the best-selling fighting games at that time, or like two plus million at that time. And 4 didn't have the influence sales-wise. It didn't have the mass appeal. But I feel like Street Fighter is going to have Street Fighter for the first time since Street Fighter 2. Street Fighter 6 is going to have potential mass appeal on this one. So it's going to be easy to learn, and it's going to be hard to master. This one's definitely going to be hard to master, but it's... I played it. I think it's it's an awesome game, even though I'm not vibing with it yet because I'm still used to Street Fighter V. But like, I think this one's a good one to get back into, you know. And in my opinion, like when it comes to fighting games, fighting games are so artistic and creative, is that we all approach it differently. So as long as you do, you know, like there's that. Oh, what's that called? Social influence or like social pressure, or, you know, like for gaming and stuff. Oh, you didn't beat this game. Oh, you don't know how to do this combo yet. I don't fall into that. We just play it the way you want. Because in my opinion, you have to enjoy what you're doing first before you decide to deep dive into it. You know, like if you don't like it and then you're going to try hard on it, I feel like the passion might not be there. But if you could love it first and then love it enough to like, okay, you know what? I think I want to compete on this. Because when you compete, I don't care what game you're playing, it's going to be a love and hate relationship. You know? So, but that's in my opinion on that, or from my perspective.
No, I agree. Like, and that's what's been hard for me to try to like dive into Street Fighter you know, or even any of the fighting games, the new Killer Instinct that, you know, it's not new anymore. I mean, it's probably 10, almost 10 years old, I'm thinking, but,
yeah.
But then, you know, even like Mortal Kombat and stuff, it's like, I feel more casual going into them, which is fine. I still have a good time with it, but there's that competitive side of me that's like, ah, oh, I want to understand this game again, but it's like the time, it's, you know, it's like you were talking about, like you can play Tears of the Kingdom for 4,000 hours, or you can play Street Fighter, you know, it's where you have to have that passion to put that much time into it also. Cause with that, yes. Without that passion, there's no, you're not going to do it. There's no way.
But also this, like once you start learning to train, because this is what I'm learning now. I put so many hours because, you know, like I like the game, but I also compete on it. And I also put a lot of training. So I wasn't like training effectively. There is a way to train effectively where you don't have to put that many hours. It's quality over quantity, and you can still get better on that. You know, like there's ways to do it. So you don't have to put thousands of hours to get good, in my opinion. You know, like obviously it is, you know, in the long term, but like, that's if you like it, whatever. But like, you know, like you could be go with a good maybe 10 hours or something, you know, just get something basic, and then you just layer it up from there. And like you said, you're casual, but you got that competitive edge. I'm gonna go in this game kind of casual myself, even though I'm a competitor. I'm gonna go in, you know, casual competitive, because I have to be patient. I have to temper my expectations, because like, you know, like I got a lot of tournament victories and, you know, strong performances, obviously a lot of disappointments, more disappointments than victories. And this is not the same game. So I'm starting with scratch. I'm going to be patient. I got to check my competitive ego to the side a little bit, even though it's there, you know, like it's not toxic, you know, like it's not toxic, but like it's someone there, like, because I truly believe we got to believe in ourselves in order for others to believe in you, you know, like for example, oh, yeah. like your podcast has been growing, you know, pretty good and all, like you've been getting some success, and congratulations, but I guarantee you that you had to believe in yourself to get up and keep the consistency going. And then now you got people like me and others, or like, you know, cheering for you to keep going, you know? So like, we believe in you now, but I'm sure you had to believe in yourself for that. Right.
You know, what's crazy is it wasn't until recently that I did. It was not until, like, I just was like, I'm just going to be consistent and do this, you know, but it wasn't until, like, I mean, I'm talking like therapy and everything. We want to get a little deep here. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't until recently that my mindset shifted to where it was because my mindset was so poor, I needed some outside source to validate me before I could validate myself, right? Because I started celebrating the wins on NPC as like, yo, this is like, this morning it was the number two, like for Nintendo, the keyword Nintendo was number two, next to the Nintendo Power podcast, which is going away, right? I was above IGN today, which I haven't, there's very few times that I see it above IGN. But the crazy thing is I've been there since 9 months after the show came out. But I never once looked at it as a good thing, because I was looking at other metrics as a means of success. Right. And so just changing that mindset, which is something I did early on when it came to like Smash Bros. It was like, yo, my success is my growth, not me winning every match. Cause I would never be celebrating anything, cause you're not going to win every match. You know, but my growth was what I was celebrating, and that's what I've had to. That's what I've. So yeah, as the mindset has shifted, so has the vibe shifts, right? And then your vibe brings your tribe, and then boom, you're winning.
Yep. You are definitely winning. You guys are killing it. You and the whole crew. Like, you know, like I'm a little bit behind on your podcast, but like I just finished the one previous to this. Like I said earlier, it was Tears of the Kingdom, a perfect game, and you guys brought excellent points. I don't know if it was cheesy or Nightcrawler, but like they went deep when they were talking about the technical masterpiece that Tears of the Kingdom is, which I believe so too, that it's a technical masterpiece. But they mentioned something about the rewind and how it keeps track of all the 3D objects I wasn't thinking about it like that, but it keeps track of all the 3D objects where, like, you could get on any object in the game. And, you know, like, yeah, I'm just saying, like, you got a great team on your podcast, you know.
No question. I love the guys. They're great. So, well, hey, this has been great. I think we're gonna have to you know, have you on again to you know, chat maybe just some more Nintendo, because I'm guessing you've got a little more history with Nintendo other than Street Fighter, huh?
Yes, I have a deep history with Nintendo, and actually, you know, like, before we go, I firmly believe that Nintendo has the best IPs. Hear me out here. IPs. For example, on the Wii U, I felt like they phoned it in with some of their good IPs, like Star Fox Zero or whatever the hell. That fell flat, in my opinion. But, like, Star Fox 64 is one of my favorite games of all time, and I would love something like that. You know, we got F-Zero. You know, like, it's like Metroid is one of my favorite franchises of all time. You know, like, Metroid Prime is, like, I think my favorite game, like, now, like, you know, like, it shifts at times, but Metroid Prime is one of my favorite games of all time, you know, and I feel like when Nintendo's on their back, they, you know, like, if they could fix Paper Mario, so that's why I said specifically IPs, like if we could get another, like, GameCube style, like, Paper Mario, that would be, like, a thousand-year door, that would be awesome. Yeah, I could talk Nintendo all day. I could talk 64. Super Nintendo,
Well, we're
I don't want to get on that.
We're gonna have to do it. It's gonna be great. Let people know where they can connect with you.
You guys can connect with me on xdsc_hitman on Twitter, on YouTube, which my YouTube channel is a little dormant, but I did put some of my tournament matches on there too. So it's fgc-hitman, and if you guys want to follow me on Twitch, it is FGC_Hitman. I do stream my Street Fighter 5 gameplay, tournament matches here and there. I will be doing Street Fighter 6, but I also variety stream. And I'm currently doing Tears of the Kingdom, Resident Evil. Like, I play just about every genre outside of RTS games and RPGs a little bit, because there's so many hours I got. And if I play RPGs, I'm going to spend too much time. So, yeah.
Your Street Fighter will start slipping if you spend too much time with the RPGs.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. I really do appreciate it. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye now.
Thank you. Later.